Good morning. It's good to be here this morning with you. Would you mind if we just say another prayer this morning? Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, I want to echo that prayer and words that were sang up there this morning. May you be magnified. May any words that come forth this morning, Father, be words of truth, words of justice, words of honor. May they be words of Christ. May as they land on whoever hears this morning, online or in present, Father, may they be words of encouragement. May they be words sweet as honey. In your name, amen. I want to welcome those who are joining us online, and again, those who are with me here this morning. It's a privilege and an honor to stand up here and bring the Word of God before you as I join the team of preachers who are preaching in this series, Difference Makers. When I look back at the people who made a difference in my life, I don't think they realize how much of a difference they really did make. Like the time they invested in me, or their ability to listen to me countless hours on and on. I'm an external processor, so I do like to talk out loud. But especially their words of encouragement made a difference in my life. I came from a broken home, and I know that we all, in some sense, come from broken homes, right? Because we are not perfect. There are no perfect parents. But for me, a broken home meant I was shuffled between two parents, two families, as I come from a divorced home. And so I had to try to find my place and my role in both of those families. I found myself craving stability and words of encouragement as I grew up. The Word of God has much to say about this topic of encouragement, of being aware of the things that come out of our mouth. And for the most part, I think we see those words of instruction, those cautionary reminders, as things for the immediate results of the words that come out. But I'm wondering if today, if we can maybe expand our imaginations to see how our words can have transformational qualities beyond when we first speak them. I'm wondering specifically if we can enlarge our imaginations and see our words to others as an opportunity to potentially change the trajectory of people's lives and to create a culture where people not only feel heard and loved, but also that they may encounter the person of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to think for a moment, when was the last time you thought this? Man, it would have been nice if someone would have said this to me. And you can fill in the blank. Maybe if you're a mom or a dad of young children this morning, you wish you would have heard these words this morning as you struggled to wrangle up the troops just to get here this morning. Wouldn't it have been nice to hear from your spouse or maybe even a church volunteer as you came through the doors? I see you and I understand it was not easy getting here this morning. Perhaps you're a teenager with us this morning and you're going through some issues at school. Maybe it's bullying. Maybe it's just the normal teenage drama that goes on. And it would have been nice to hear from your parents or maybe a trusted adult, I see you. I see it is not easy to go through what you are going through. Or maybe you're a boss of a company and you've had to make some unexpected changes that affect others. It probably would have been nice to hear from your boss or maybe even your coworkers. I see, it's a real stressful time. But I know that the changes that you are making are in the best interest of all of us. What can I do to support you? Or maybe you find yourself near the end of retirement age, or maybe just even a transition, a transitional change, a new season, and it would have been nice to have someone come alongside of you and say, I see you. Let me pass on some wisdom and encouragement. Whatever the situation that you find yourself in now or then, I imagine it would have been nice if someone was able to step in to where you were and speak words of encouragement. Or perhaps I'm the only one who feels this way. But if you are human, you probably have thought that. Did you know that it takes 7 positive words of affirmation to wipe out 1 negative experience? Now, I'm not one to sit and count how many positives I'm receiving to wipe out the negatives, but I do know it takes more words of affirmation and encouragement to wipe away the negative thoughts. In fact, it's kind of scary, as James tells us in the New Testament in chapter 3, just how much weight our words play in people's lives. The Message translation in chapter 3, verses 5 through 10 say this: it only takes a spark to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of our mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it, right from the pit of hell. This is scary, James tells us. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a cruel killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same language, we curse the very men and women created in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. If you read that, you kind of wonder, how can that be? And James continues in verse 13 to ask the question of us, do you want to be counted as wise to build a reputation of wisdom? If you do, here's what you need to do. Live well, live wisely, and live humbly. This call to us for wise words is also spoken in the Old Testament by King Solomon, who was the wisest man ever to live. In his proverb, which is really just a fancy way of accumulating the general truth or pieces of advice that he wanted to pass on to the next generation, he describes the elements that are a part of wise speech. And so on one hand, we have Brother James cautioning us, your words can kill, yet King Solomon in his proverb says, but your words can also bring life. And so we're going to read King Solomon's words this morning. If you have your Bibles with you in physical form, please bring those out. Or if you have your phone and your Bible's on there, go ahead and turn those on. Your neighbor will know if you're on Facebook, just to let you know. But Proverbs 16, verses 21 through 24 is what we're going to be camping out in for a little bit. We also have it up on the screen. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It's going to be our primary text as we look at how can we become difference makers to those we interact with. Proverbs 16. The wise are known for their understanding, and pleasant words are persuasive. Discretion is a life-giving fountain to those who possess it, but discipline is wasted on fools. From a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. So I brought my own little object lesson this morning. I got to confess to you, this is the beginning of confession. We're going to do communion a little later, so you'll have an opportunity to confess too. But my confession this morning is I am addicted to honey. My husband has been getting this from a coworker. They're selling it at their store, and it's from a local grower. And literally, I am addicted to it. I have at least 1 to 2 teaspoons a day of it because I'm addicted to something called frozen banana ice cream. Has anyone ever tried banana ice cream before? I eat it a lot, and I have no guilt because it is all it is frozen bananas and a little bit of honey. There's no fat. There's no milk. It is sweet, and it is life-giving. Solomon says that when wisely stewarded, when wisely handled, our words can impart the same kind of sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Have you ever considered that you can offer comfort? That you can offer comfort to the aching souls around you? That you can give to someone what they do not possess. If they're bitter, you can offer sweetness. If they are sick, you can bring health. We have the power to empower. We have the means to motivate and the ability to bring light. To empower, to motivate, to bring light, we get to participate in the transformation of others. That's super exciting because we get to partner with God. We get to be difference makers simply by the words we choose to speak. I speak a lot of words, so I guess that means I get to make a lot of difference in people's lives. Many of us, though, could sit here this morning and think, I don't know. I've got a lot of reasons why I'm not qualified to be a difference maker. I make poor choices. I have ongoing sin. I'm uneducated. I lack the experience. I'm just not wise. I mean, the list could go on and on of excuses. But from where I sit and what I've learned from sitting at the feet of Jesus, and you as well, as we learned in the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes, is that the beginning of wisdom, which we'll learn is actually the fountain through which encouragement flows. Wisdom is simply being in awe of God. Of awe of God, of loving Him and then loving others. It's simple. If we do that, we open up all kinds of opportunities for our words to be persuasive, to be life-giving to people. And from those encounters with Jesus, from the time that you spent with Jesus, from there, wisdom is birthed and encouragement flows out to others. This morning, I want to show you a tangible way to express this. Has anyone seen the movie Overcomers? It was produced by the same people who did The War Room. And while our tech just gets ready to cue up that video, I want to show you or help you understand a little bit of the background to this movie, Overcomer. It tells a story of Hannah Scott, who's an athletic 15-year-old orphan who finds herself in a new school and trying out a new sport, cross-country running. Do I have any runners here this morning? Any runners? A couple? At some point during the movie, Hannah realizes that she isn't an orphan anymore. Her father, who ran away shortly after she was born, has suddenly come back into her life. He had a rough past, nothing befitting of what we would think is a good father. But somewhere along his journey, he met and found Jesus. And when Hannah first meets him, he is lying in a hospital bed. He's dying, he's sick, he's blind, and you can imagine he is humble. And it's from this very place that he offers wisdom as he begins the process of reconciliation with his daughter in quite a unique way. And as we watch this clip, I don't want you to be afraid to put yourself in the shoes of either Hannah or her dad, the father or the child. And I want you to ask these two questions. If you're taking notes, you might want to write these down as well. How has God or someone in your life done this for me? And the second question is, how can I do this for others? And if you're watching online with us this morning, you're not going to hear or see this clip just for copyright reasons, but there is a link under the description for you to watch it a little bit later. The opening scene is an adrenaline rush that every runner feels right before the race begin, especially if you're in a state cross-country championship. And for Hannah, she was an underdog, and so the nerves were really heavy for her because she was competing at a high level, and she had never done that before. Luckily for her, she had a coach speaking words of wisdom and encouragement into every step. And so I want you to watch this clip right now. I wish we could watch more of that clip. I wish we could watch to the end, but lucky for you, we are having a family night on Sunday, September 25th. Sunday, September 25th, if you want to write that down. We're going to be watching that video or that movie in entirety so you can see how it ends. Every time I watch that scene, it gets me. It gets me for a couple reasons. One, I was a cross country and track runner in my youth. I remember that nervous belly right before the gun would go off. But also, my oldest daughter is named Hannah. She's a cross country and a track runner. She was at Palmyra and now is going to be running for the University of Tampa. And my youngest daughter, Avery, is also a runner. But perhaps the most profound thing for me in watching that scene is that I have encountered the living God through words of encouragement that people have given me. Through words that came from coaches, mentors, pastors, friends, those who are willing to jump into the race with me and run alongside of me. I could tell you countless stories of youth leaders who listened to me talk on and on as I was in my youth years. I could tell you about my friend's parents when I was in college at nursing school who adopted me really and said, "You can find a home here with us and the church." Actually, that was my first introduction to the Brethren in Christ. A story for another time. Or I could tell you of a pastor who challenged me to finish my seminary career before I took a ministry position. Or I could tell you about a bishop who taught me that vulnerability in ministry is not a weakness. It could be actually my greatest strength. These and many other examples of people who joined the race with me fostered my relationship with God. And it literally changed the trajectory of my life. They allowed me to live into the promises that God had for me, including my role in his kingdom. And now I long to do that for others. And I want to encourage us here this morning that the next generation of runners needs the gentle spirit of encouragement spoken into their ears, just like Hannah's dad did for her. But I want to admit, none of us are perfect in this. I'll be the first to stand up here this morning and say that my words have caused harm to people. And I've had to offer or ask for forgiveness. But we get the opportunity to give words of honey that are sweet, just like Hannah's dad did. I mean, it took him almost a lifetime till he encountered Jesus that he recognized, "I can be a difference maker." But when he did, he spoke into her life in such a unique way. Not with words of just knowledge. These were words of experience. Words where he encountered God and was able to pass them along. Because as you saw in that video clip, as he lay in his hospital bed, completely vulnerable and transparent to the frailty of our humanity, he made a difference in someone's life. And so we can do that as well. You can do that as well. We can all be honey, sweet, and life-giving. And at times, this does mean that we will challenge people to take the next step up the mountain that God is calling them into. And this is important to convey because encouragement is not always void of challenging people, challenging their current perception of reality. If you're a seasoned runner, you know that there is usually a time in the race when you hit the wall. Do you know what I mean? When your current perception of reality is, "I cannot take one more step." But you know, because of people's encouragement and practice, this is how I feel. It doesn't mean that I cannot press on. And so there are times when encouraging words are challenging words. And at other times, encouragement means providing others with the exact words that Hannah's dad gave her near the end of the race. I know we weren't able to see that clip, but when we watch the whole movie later, you will hear these words. "You're near the finish line. And we," he says, "me and you, father and daughter, Father and Son, we're going to finish strong. You're about to come out of the woods now, and this is the place where you pull out all of your reserves. This is where you leave it all on the course. You can do this. Give everything. Keep your eyes on the finish line and fight for it, for I am right here with you. You can do this. I see you winning. I see you winning. Now, yes, these are words from the cinematic movie, but they're straight out of the heart of God. And I don't want you to miss this morning. They come from an eternal Father who desired to create us simply to love us. These are words that come from the heart of a friend and a Savior who climbed up on the cross willingly so that we might experience unity with God. And these are words that come straight from the Holy Spirit, who is the primary person to teach and encourage us in the way that we are to go. These are words, yes, out of the movies, but these are words straight out of the gospel. This is the good news. I am here with you. I see you winning. I love how the music tied in this morning. I see victory, Jesus says to us. I see you doing this. I can see you winning. When the disciples were having their parting words with Jesus, he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't fear, for I am with you." And then he left this earth, didn't he? I mean, what? What? But he didn't leave us empty-handed. He left us with his Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ poured out on every man, every woman, and every child who believes. And through the will of the Father, the sacrifice of the Son, and the enabling of the Holy Spirit, we can proclaim to ourselves this morning and to others, I see you winning. The Apostle Paul also gave us wise and encouraging words from his personal experience in Romans 8:37 when he says, "Despite all things, no matter what you bring to the table this morning, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, despite all these things," Paul says, "overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ, who loved us." This is the kind of good news that is not only relevant to this world, to this culture, but is also needed, so much needed today. This is the kind of good news that will make a difference in people's lives. People have been asking me lately, what's going to happen next week when we take our daughter to college? When are you going to cry? So we're all trying to figure out, like, when we're going to cry. So I have tissues with me. Doug and I were just talking about this on the walk. I know there's going to be tears. I'm sure there's going to be tears. But I'm anticipating that the most challenging moment for me is when she has her first cross-country meet. And I'm not going to be there to cheer her on. See, I'm unashamed to say I'm loud and I'm obnoxious at cross-country meets. Just ask any other parent that goes. They know. I am unashamed to stand in the gap. In fact, it's my greatest pleasure to stand in the gap for these young men and young women who find themselves in the most challenging parts of the race. So I usually purposefully, strategically place myself on the course where no one else wants to go. Usually this means I'm dirty and sweaty by the end because it is 3 miles. I mean, you're running all over the place. But I desire to be there for them and give them encouragement. The spots that are convenient are the spots that the crowd are in. But I want to be at the place where the runner feels the most physically tired, because they know what hill is next. I want to be at the place where I can help them override the pain and exhaustion and the hopelessness. I can't go another step. Another runner keeps passing me by. It's in those moments that the crowd is found in the most easy and accessible places. Sometimes I wonder, am I too loud? Am I too obnoxious? You know, your teenagers constantly sometimes get afraid of what you'll say. And one day my daughter came to me and she said, "Mom, are you coming to the meet today?" She said, my girlfriends are asking, are you coming? Because they love when you stand at the place where no one else is. And I said, I'm going to be there. I wouldn't miss it. I don't want to miss you running today. You may not immediately see the effects, the long-term effects, the impact. You might not see the culture that you've created for being here for so many years in a workplace or in your homes. You may not see the impact immediately, but I'm here to tell you from experience that your words of coaching and encouragement have made an impact. And God wants to use you. God has used people in my life over and over to restore and encourage me in countless ways. And this morning, we're going to be partaking in communion. We're going to experience the greatest encouragement that someone has given to us. And so I just want to ask the worship team to come up with us. We're going to be doing communion a little differently than you might normally do, so bear with me if I miss anything. I'm going to pray with us and prepare us to come to the table. And then the worship team is going to sing a song. And during that song, that's when you can take communion. If there is any sin in your life, if there is something that you're struggling with, if there's a disconnect between you and God or you and others, I encourage you, I implore you, as the scripture says, to take time during this song, as long as you need, and have that heart to heart with God, and then partake in the communion. And so would you bow your heads with me as I pray? Jesus, I can only imagine what was going on that last night when you were with your disciples, your friends. You're sitting around the table, you're talking, you're eating. They have no idea what to expect, although they noticed you've been talking strange lately. And you pick up the bread and you say to them, I want you to eat this. For it is my body. And later, you pick up the cup and you say, this is my blood. I want you to drink of it, for it confirms the covenant. It confirms the agreement that God has made with his people. Now, Jesus, I know today we understand all of what that means. I know that today we understand that you were about to give the world the most tremendous encouragement that a person could ever receive. And that is that there is hope. And that through you, there is life beyond the grave. Not just eternal life, but life here and now. It all makes sense now, Lord. And today, we take both this cup and this bread, and we remember the sacrifice that was given on our behalf. But we want to also communicate to you, Lord Jesus, that at this very moment, we welcome and receive the life that you give us, that you impart to us. It is both a mystery and a symbol. And we want to join you, Lord Jesus. We want to join you in the work that you are doing of making a difference in people's lives. And so we thank you for this sacrifice. We thank you for this sacrifice that is, yes, it's free to us, but it wasn't free to you. So we take time to contemplate that. And then we take time to receive it so that it would nourish our bodies and also nourish those that we come in contact with. We ask this in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son. Amen.